Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
And we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, getting set to hoop it up and get you ready for the 2011 NBA playoffs. The team that we are shining the spotlight on in our playoff preview is out of the Eastern Conference, of course, the Central Division, and that is the Chicago Bulls as they get set for their first round matchup with the Indiana Pacers. And that certainly looks to be very intriguing. So what better person to help us break it all down than one of our favorite Sooners who went on to have a very successful career with the Chicago Bulls. In fact, he won three NBA titles. He played alongside Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and it is such a pleasure to welcome in Chicago Bulls television analyst Stacey King. Boomer Sooner number 33.
Oh, yeah, always, for life.
It's great to have you on with us, and we've got so much ground to cover and to talk about. But before we kind of break down, Stacey, all the X's and O's and give a preview of the Bulls and the Pacers, just step back for a moment and let's just highlight and talk about the regular season, because what a difference a year makes. I mean, 1 year ago, the Bulls had won 41 games. This year, they stand at 62-20. And I know there's a number of key storylines, but what stands out in your mind the most, Stacey, on why this team has had so much success in such a short period of time?
Well, I think it starts off with the free agent acquisitions that John Paxson and Gar Forman went out and got. I mean, everybody was trying to get into the you know, the LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh sweepstakes, and the Bulls were, you know, the Bulls got into the game, they put their chips in, they came up short, but, you know, they didn't rest on their laurels. They went after Plan B. They had a Plan B. They went after Carlos Boozer, who's an all-star power forward. They got Ronnie Brewer. They brought in Kyle Korver. They brought in Kurt Thomas. They brought in pieces of guys that are winners, you know, guys who've been in great systems, played on great NBA teams, that understand what it's like to be in a winning locker room, and then you just kind of infuse that talent with guys like Derrick Rose, you know, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, and now you got yourself a pretty good makeup of a team.
And it is a team that, as you had talked about, now has so much depth and they can, you know, go extremely deep into their bench. But also share a little bit about, as far as, Stacey, the revamped coaching staff and the addition of Tom Thibodeau. I mean, the one thing when you watch the Bulls, I mean, he's so fun to watch on the sideline because of how passionate he is and animated as a coach. And he's really been able to get his players to buy into his defensive philosophy.
Well, he came in with the reputation of being a great defensive coach. I mean, he won a championship in Boston. He played for one last year. They came up short. He's got 25 years of being an assistant, you know, being under some very good coaches. So he was ready to go. You know, it's a surprise that he never really got an opportunity before now. And, you know, the cool thing about it is to see a guy who's waited his turn, you know, set back and learned and watched, and to get an opportunity now to coach this team, you know, because he had his options. He could have went to New Jersey. You know, he could probably stayed in Boston, and you know, if Doc Rivers ever stepped off, he could have had that job. So, you know, he took the Bulls job. And the one thing about this team that they were lacking the last couple of years, you know, they finished 41-41, and, you know, you had Vinny Del Negro as the coach, and he was a young, inexperienced coach. He did a good job of developing, you know, some of the younger players, but as far as experience, he just didn't have that experience as an assistant nor as a head coach. And that's been the biggest difference now. As you see, Tom Thibodeau has that experience, 25 years of being in the NBA game, understanding the game, understanding players, and it's kind of transcended with this team. And, you know, they're 21 wins better than they were, you know, 20 wins better than they were the last year. So it's an amazing turnaround.
It's an amazing turnaround. They have come a long way in a short period of time. And you were highlighting just an impressive resume that Tom Thibodeau had, of course, helped the Celtics win a title. They reached the NBA Finals during the past 3 years. But he's more than just a defensive guy. Can you kind of give us some insight? Because these players, I mean, I know that Tom Thibodeau, he has a, you know, a very strong work ethic, but they want to play for him. He has an ability to reach inside these guys' hearts and minds and really connect with him.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you come in with that reputation of, you know, being a defensive coach, you know, really coaching some of the top players, you know, in the game, you get that respect. That, you know, that respect is automatically there. What happens now is that you got to, you know, that gets you in the door with the players. But, you know, and once you get through the door, you got to show them that you're an X and O guy. You know, he's been able to put an offense in that has been able to utilize everybody that's on the floor at any given time. You know, there's a lot of ball movement. Luol Deng has had his best year to to date. I mean, he has played phenomenally. Should have been an all-star this year. But he has flourished under Tom Thibodeau's offensive system. You know, it's a lot of passing, a lot of cutting, not a lot of standing around. You know, last year it tended to get the ball to Derek and get out the way, you know, and play for himself, or he would find somebody for a drive and kick. And, you know, that's good if you've got great shooters in that type of system. But when you don't have great shooters and you've got great slashers, you have to put in a system that's going to take advantage of their skills. And Lou Aldang is not a bad shooter, but he's a great slasher. And so he's constantly moving without the basketball, being put in positions to score. And another thing is, you know, Tom is an intense guy, but he also has a sense of humor. You know, he may come across on the sideline looking like a guy that would, like, bite your head off, but, you know, in practice he jokes with the guys. He's a loose coach. He understands how to get the most out of his players, but also knows when to back off when it may seem like he might need to come on stronger.
You're listening to The Voice, the Chicago Bulls television analyst. Of course, Stacey King had a prolific career at Oklahoma, went on to win 3 NBA championships with the Chicago Bulls. And, of course, you were talking about this is a team that they're not one-dimensional. Yeah, they play defense, but offensively they are very efficient. Also talk about just the staff that Tom Thibodeau was able to put together. I'm very familiar with Coach Ron Adams. He spent time in Oklahoma City last year, and he was a big reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder took the Lakers to 7 games.
Well, he's huge. He was big here before he went to Oklahoma City. He was here early on, and he was a very good defensive coach. He was under Scott Skiles, and he is regarded as a very, very good assistant coach. Fundamentally sound. He knows how to get the players to perform. Not only is he a great offensive and defensive mind, he does a good job of developing guys, you know, teaching guys how to shoot the basketball. He's worked with our guy, Omer Asik here, the big 7-footer from Turkey, and he's done a good job of helping him develop hook shots and you know, post-game. So he's more than just a defensive guru, but he has a great understanding of the game. You got guys like Ed Pickney, who played in this league, who, you know, also was a college standout for Villanova, won a national championship, Rick Brunson. You know, so they've got a ton of coaches over there. Adrian Griffin, a ton of coaches over there that have played in the NBA, but also been able to, you know, learn the game and be able to relate to the younger players, because this is a different league now. There's a lot of young players in this league, and you have to have coaches that can relate to these kids.
And, of course, one of the big reasons why the Chicago Bulls are having so much success, he's in all the MVP talk, and that is your point guard, Derrick Rose, and he is truly something sensational. I think what is so surprising is how he's been able to develop just so quickly. I mean, has that been shocking to you, Stacey, or did you always know this guy was going to land on his feet and be an instant difference maker?
No, I saw him play in high school. You know, I was familiar with Derrick when he was in high school here, so I knew what kind of player he was. You know, the one thing that I don't think people really know about Derrick Rose is that, you know, he is probably – him and Kevin Durant are two superstars that get it. When they get it, they understand the responsibilities that they have for their organization. They understand the responsibility that they have, you know, for their teammates. And they understand the responsibility they have for their fans. They're very humble. You listen to them talk. You know, it's never self-serving. It's never I. You know, it's always about we. You know, it's always a we. It's never about me or I. It's always about the team. And it's refreshing because, you know, after seeing, you know, the things that happened this summer in the free agency, I'm taking my talents to South Beach and, you know, all the parade and all the shenanigans that went on with the free agency, it's refreshing to see two superstar kids who, you know, Kevin Durant took less money to stay in Oklahoma City. He could have left and went for bigger payday somewhere else or went to go play in his hometown. You know, he decided to stay there with that young and upcoming team. And, you know, Derrick Rose is born and raised in Chicago. So, you know, where we had Michael Jordan before, and I said this the other day, it's almost like Haley's Comet twice. You know, Haley's Comet comes like once every moon. You know, and we are fortunate here in Chicago that it's come twice. And, you know, Michael Jordan, as great as he was, and he's always going to be a Chicago Bull in everybody's mind, even though he played for the Wizards, and we don't count that. But, you know, he's always going to be a Chicago Bull. But the one thing that makes Derrick Rose special was he was born and raised here. And, you know, he didn't come in from another city. He's born and raised here. People have watched him grow up since he was in, you know, middle school. And, you know, he comes from a great family. He doesn't travel with entourages. You know, the kid's all about winning. And if you to see him from last year to this year and how much improvement he's made on his game is amazing. I mean, completely 360. And he was good last year. He made the All-Star team. But the difference this year, I think, is that playing on that national team, and if you go back and you look at all those kids that played on that national team with Coach K this summer, and they won the gold medal. You know, Westbrook is having a great year.
Oh, yeah.
Durant's having a great year. Kevin Love had a great year. Rudy Gay was having a great year until he got hurt. Derrick Rose is having a great year. Everybody who played on that team is playing at an all-star level this year. And I think they pushed each other this summer. They, you know, especially Derrick. I think Derrick got a chance to see what other superstars do, how they prepare. And he came back with a whole different mindset. He came back with the attitude, like, why can't I be the best player in the league?
Well, his numbers say it all. It really validates everything that you're talking about. I mean, he's averaging 25 points, almost 8 assists per game, and 4 rebounds. What specific area, Stacey, did you see the biggest improvement? I think you said that, you know, points per game, he's up like 4 per game, but it sounds like almost maturity and that he is a student of the game and he's taking that upon himself more.
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, the rap on him coming in is he couldn't shoot. You know, everybody knew that he was so explosive. They knew he could put the ball on the floor and get to the basket or get to anywhere on the court that he wanted. In the first 2 years, you know, people would back off of him, and they say, okay, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us because you're going to have to hit jump shots. But he was still quick enough to get to the basket anytime he went. If he wanted to get to the rim, he's going to get to the rim. Don't care how you
yeah.
play, he's going to do it. But the one thing, the one area that he really worked on, and you can tell this year, is his shooting. You know, he has really, really worked on his shooting. I think last year he shot like 61 three-point attempts last year. This year he's close to 300 attempts from the three, or he might be over 300 attempts from the three-point line, and he's shooting better percentage from the field as far as jump shots are concerned, better three-point percentage. So now you can't defend him by just backing off of him now. There's really no clear way you can defend him now because, like I said, before you could back off him and say, beat me with a jump shot. Well, now he's beating you with a jump shot. So now what are you going to do? You got to pick your poison. Do we get up on him and let him just blow by us? Or do we back off him and let him, you know, just beat us with jump shots? And so he's been able to do both.
High praise for Derrick Rose. I guess if you were going to cast your vote today, would you give him that MVP? I mean, he's going against some big names.
I would have gave it to him at Christmas break.
Okay.
You know, because, and the reason why I say that, not just because I see him every night. You know, he's a special kid. And, you know, to understand what this team has gone through this year, you know, you had Carlos Boozer miss the first 2 months of the season. Okay, that was your number two option. He missed the first 2 months of the season. And the Bulls had to go out west and play on the hardest, you know, road trips. We were out on the road trip like 15, 16 days. And we're playing the toughest teams in the Western Conference, and we're beating them. Then we come back, and then Joakim Noah misses about 30 games. So you're two of your best players are gone. And he's pretty much had to single-handedly, along with Lou Alding, has been able to keep the team up and playing at a high level. And, you know, a lot of guys can't do it. I mean, if you take Dwayne Wade off Miami, I mean, Miami's still going to be good because you've got LeBron James and Chris Bosh. But you take both those guys off and let LeBron play by himself, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, they're not going to be as good. So, you know, for Derrick Rose to be able to play at a high level with missing two of his key components, a new coach, a new system, new players, he's hands down the MVP.
Okay, so Carlos Boozer, he is back. He is healthy. Just talk about the addition of him, and I know how much you appreciate him as being a former NBA center. I mean, 22 rebounds earlier in the week against, what, the Knicks. I mean, you got to love that kind of effort.
Yeah, I mean, he gives the Bulls something they haven't had since Elton Brand, a low-post scorer. This is the one area now, like I said, you know, hindsight's 20/20. If he would have been on this team last year, this team wins 50-plus games last year. But, you know, this is this year. And the one dimension that he brings in, it takes pressure off of Derrick Rose to have to do everything every single night. Because you can throw that ball down to Carlos Boozer. He's either going to get 2 points or he's going to get fouled. You know, he's highly skilled on that post. He can score with either hand. Again, he can play the pick-and-roll game, the pick-and-pop game. He can knock down 20-foot jump shots. He can put the ball on the floor from 20 feet. So there's a lot of things that he brings to the table that really makes this team go. And when he was out with injuries, we still won the games. But in order for us to advance in the playoffs, he's going to have to come up huge for us because, as you know, in the playoffs, it becomes a half-court game. Teams are able to defend you a little bit better because they have more time to prepare compared to the regular season where you might not see a team. You play a team in, say, October or November, and you don't see that team again until, you know, in the springtime.
Stacey King along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show, and you've talked about several times just how much the other teams, when the playoffs come around, everybody dials up their game that much more. They play hard, they play together, and they certainly play with passion. how far do you think that the Bulls will go this year? I mean, what do you think their title chances are?
Oh, they're great. I mean, they're the one thing that people don't understand about being on a championship team, there's a couple of elements that makes you a championship team. And first of all, you're not going to win a championship if you can't play defense, period. Because
yeah.
That's where the game is won and lost. Because when you're not able to score, you have to be able to have the ability to stop the other team from scoring or make it difficult for them to score. So that means if you got a great defense, you're never out of a game. You know, if you're down 6-8 points, you're never out of the game because you can defend and you can get stops at critical moments. And that's one thing the Bulls are able to do. They're able to get, you know, really key stops when they need it. They're able to put pressure on teams with their defense. And then their defense creates scoring opportunities where they're able to, you know, get some steals, get some turnovers, get quick shots, and, you know, get rebounds and push the ball in transition and let their athleticism take over. So they have a lot of different elements that can beat you. And they're the number one defensive team in the league. And you look at their stats, they're number one in almost everything. So that gives them a legitimate shot. Now, me personally, you know, a lot of people think that this might be a year too early. You know, I don't think so, but that you hear that, you know, they have to have some failure before they win a title, and I don't believe that. I think if you're good enough, your team is good enough, you can win a title. I don't care how much experience you have.
We're getting you ready for the 2011 NBA playoffs. They'll be underway this weekend, and as I said at the start of the show, we are focusing on the Eastern Conference, the number one seed, the Chicago Bulls. They will be set to face the Pacers, and obviously one of the key components with the Bulls this year has just been, as you talked about, there's so many newcomers that have really infused energy and the quality minutes that they're providing, Stacey, but can you highlight a little bit more and talk about the depth with the bench? Because Tom Thibodeau, he's able to rotate these guys and platoon them.
Well, the bench is huge. The bench has been big all year. This is probably the best bench in the NBA. You know, last night, the last home game they played the Nets, the bench scored 55 points. And, you know, you got guys like Kyle Korver coming off the bench, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. You got Ronnie Brewer, who's a do-it-all forward and can play two or three positions. Taj Gibson, who was a starter, you know, his first years in the league. Now he's coming off the bench, gives you depth. You got Kurt Thomas. C.J. Watson, who's a very good point guard, who comes in and gets Derrick Rest. You know, Tom Thibodeau is not going to change his rotation. Most times when you get into the playoffs, you see coaches shorten their rotation. They go from, you know, a 10-man rotation to, say, 8. But Tom Thibodeau is not going to do that. He's been playing his bench just to get them ready for this moment. And you're going to see those guys play meaningful minutes in the playoffs. And, you know, their roles are not going to change. He's going to bring them in, and they're going to, you know, he's going to expect them to perform like they've been doing all year, and I don't see any difference.
The Bulls playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum right now. So let's zero in and talk about, Stacey, that first-round opponent with the Pacers. What do you think about this particular matchup? Does it worry you at all?
Yeah, it worries me. I mean, anytime you get into a playoff series, everybody starts 0-0. It doesn't matter what your record is. And, you know, if a team gets hot and they get a little confidence because, you know, Indiana, all they have to do is come in and win one game. You know, of course you want to go get that first one to put the pressure back on the home team. So they're going to come out, and they played us tough this year. You know, we own the series record against. They've only beaten us once this year, and that was in overtime. But, you know, they're young. They're athletic. They've been playing a lot better, you know, under the new coach. Danny Granger is an all-star caliber player. Roy Hibbert's been playing extremely well. I think the key for them is going to be a couple of players. I think it's going to be, you know, Darren Collison. You got to have great point guard play. And if you have great point guard play for them, then they're going to give themselves a shot. You know, Tyler Hansborough's been playing well for him. He gave us fits the last time we played. I think he had 30-some points. High-energy guy, you know, just a straight banger. They're long and athletic. And so, you know, sometimes those teams give us a little problems. But, you know, I don't see it happening. If we take care of business and come out focused and, you know, we get these first two games at home, I think it's going to be a wrap.
So I hear you saying, you know, a perimeter defense is going to be perhaps at the forefront of the Bulls' minds. But I'm curious, you talked about Roy Hibbert. He scares me to death. How in the world do you defend this guy?
Well, you got to play him physical, and you got to attack him in transition. You got to make him have to run up and down the court, and that's one of the reasons why I think Joakim has the advantage because he's so fast. You know, when the ball's turned over and you're changing ends and the Bulls are going on offense, you know, Joakim's going to make him run, and that's how you get him out of the game. You get him to get cheap fouls when he's tired. When he gets the ball in the post, you know, you don't let him get in the comfort zone. You don't allow him to get where he wants to go. You got to meet him early, and you got to bang him a little bit and get him off balance. And we've been able to do that this year and really kind of frustrate him. You know, the one thing that sometimes we get in trouble with is that, you know, we play to the level of competition sometimes. And, you know, when you...
Most teams do, Stace.
Yeah, I mean, it's all teams do.
Yes.
But when you see it, you can't do that in the playoffs because everybody's there for a reason. You can do that in the regular season because it's 82 games. But you can't come out and say, okay, Indiana's the AC, we're gonna beat them, we're not going to come out and take them serious. You can't do that because you'll find yourself going home, going fishing. So, you know, the Bulls are going to have to get their mindset on and have killer instinct, you know, sharks, blood in the water. They've got to attack them early and not give them any confidence, you know, in these first two games in Chicago, just rout them. So when they go back to Indianapolis, they feel like there's no chance we can beat this team.
Okay, Stacey, tell me this. I mean, you won three titles with the Bulls. How much does the level of intensity change when the playoffs roll around? I mean, you guys have been playing with so much intensity and passion all season long, but not all teams do that. They kind of coast and they have their up and down season, but you guys have been consistent with that. But do you think back to those days, your playing days there with the Bulls? I mean, just was it kind of shocking when you initially were in the league just how much these guys really dial it in?
Yeah, it's a totally different game. It's a totally different game comparing the playoffs to the regular season because, again, in the regular season, it's an 82-game season. It's a long grind. And, you know, you might only see a team, you know, you might see a team, you know, like say we play Indiana, you know, four times because they're within our division. You know, we might see them one time in November. You know, we might see them in, you know, December, and then we don't see them again for a month or two. So, you know, and so teams don't have time to prepare for you, you know, because you're playing every other night against a different team. So coaching staff, you know, they have a scouting report, but they don't really, you know, overemphasize it during the regular season. But now when you get to the playoffs, now coaches can dissect what you do. They can break down every single set that you run. They can break down every defensive structure that you have. And they can actually, you know, put time in to find things to find your weaknesses and to play them against you. So that's why the playoffs are so much more intense, because guys are much more focused offensively and defensively on how to take advantage of opponents.
We're getting ready to wrap up our radio interview with Stacey King, the great Stacey King, I should say. Chicago Bulls television analyst, does a fantastic job. He has a tremendous following and a lot of favor with all those Chicago Bulls fans. You have indeed found a way, Stacey, to really connect with your audience, and we just congratulate you on just a wonderful job that you're doing. But obviously, with the home base for us being here, Fort Worth and Dallas, and we've been dialing in and covering the Dallas Mavs, can you kind of give us your thoughts and analysis on them? I know that they have had a little bit of an up-and-down season, but they're playing really well right now. I mean, they dismantled New Orleans by 32 points the other night, and who knows where this team could go?
Well, I mean, they're a dangerous team. I mean, they got a difficult first-round opponent in Portland. Portland is my surprise team. I told people all year long this is going to be a team that is going to cause some teams some problems in the playoffs. And, you know, unfortunately, they play each other first. And Dallas is one of those teams, too, that, you know, if they get on a run and they get hot, you know, they can run the table as well. They've got size, they've got depth, they've got, you know, experience. And I think a lot of people are kind of discounting them, you know, because of, you know, you got the San Antonio story, how well they played this year. You got the Lakers, you know, Oklahoma City is playing extremely well. So, you know, there's a couple teams that people are, like, sleeping on, and Portland and Dallas are the two. Denver's another team, I think, you know, that, you know, Oklahoma City's got to watch out for. But I like the Mavericks. I think if Dirk Nowitzki, you know, they go is when he goes. If he has a bad game, you don't have Caron Butler. You know, he was a guy that I think had he been healthy and had he not went down with an injury this year, you're looking at Dallas maybe being the team to beat.
Are you surprised, as long as you've been in the league and covering the league, just how underappreciated that Dirk Nowitzki is? I mean, almost an anomaly, you know, a 7-footer that's got the stroke that he has. I mean, you're 6'10", Stacey. I mean, you have to have a true appreciation for what he's been able to accomplish and just the level of consistency that he's played at.
Well, I mean, he's a guy that's a matchup nightmare because, I mean, you're a big guy, you got to defend him.
Yeah.
Because most big guys stay on the block. And, you know, it's easy to defend a guy within a certain, diameter. You know, you just left or right two steps, you know. But when you get a guy that can, you know, take you out to the three-point line and square you up and shoot the three in your face and be able to put the ball on the floor from 25 feet and be able to get to the basket – with like two or three dribbles, you know, that's a tough matchup, you know. And then when you get him in the pick and roll game, you know, Jason Kidd does such a great job of setting him up and putting him in positions where he can just catch and shoot. And the rotations have to be tight, because if your rotations are not tight, it's a layup for him. You know, 20-foot jump shot is like shooting a layup. And he's just a matchup nightmare, and he can post up. You know, he can get on the block. I mean, there's really nothing he can't do on the floor offensively for his size, which is, you know, he's been consistent all year long. He's an all-star. You know, a couple of years he should have won the MVP, but he's still playing at a high level, and he's very effective.
And, Stacey, how in the world do you defend that one-legged fadeaway?
You know what? I mean, the only thing you do is try to take his other leg, the good leg that he's got back on, you know, try to trip him or something, you know.
Right.
That's a deadly move. And because what makes it so deadly is not that he's stepping back, that he's so long and he's stepping back. You know, if it was a normal, you know, 6'4" guy, you could probably defend that, you know, because you'd be able to block it. But when you got a big dude like that and he's stepping back and he's fading away, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, how do you defend that?
He is certainly tough. He's a lot of fun to watch, and certainly.
It's like the sky over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
You know, everybody knows he's coming, but how do you stop it?
Well, you nailed it, and we'll have to see how it all plays out, but they certainly do have a formidable opponent in the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll see how it all plays out. Of course, they'll be in action on Saturday night at 8:30 Central Time. Stacey King, thank you so much. We appreciate you dropping by, and we definitely want to catch up with you again real soon, and good luck to the Bulls. You're providing, obviously, a lot of Sooner magic up there in the Midwest.
You know what? You know, I'm always going to be Sooner for life, and I send a shout-out to all my hometown people in Lawton, Oklahoma, and I still keep my Oklahoma roots strong.
Absolutely, and we'll have to have you back and talk about the new men's basketball coach at Oklahoma, too, in Lon Kruger.
Yes, you have to do that. I'm excited about that.
Thanks, Stacey. We'll catch up with you again real soon.
Thanks for having me on.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Jason Peter will be joining us with our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.